Following the inauguration of William Henry Harrison in March 1841, Vice President John Tyler returned to his Williamsburg, Virginia home and looked forward to spending most of the next 4 years in peaceful contemplation. The Whigs around Harrison had made it abundantly clear to Tyler, a former Democrat, that his services were not required. Then, a month later, Harrison died and Tyler became president. The news came as a shock to Tyler because no one had even thought to inform him the president was sick. Early in the morning of April 5th, he was awakened by two messengers from the Capitol. By 7, Tyler was packed in on the road, arriving in Washington just before dawn the following day. In all, he traveled by horse, riverboat, and train 230 miles in 21 hours, a remarkable speed for 1841. Soon after his arrival in Washington, Tyler met with Harrison's cabinet, whose members suggested that he seek their approval before taking any actions. "I am very glad to have in my cabinet such able statesmen as you," Tyler told them. "But I can never consent to being dictated to as to what I shall or shall not do. I am the president. When you think otherwise, your resignations will be accepted." Later, after he vetoed an important Whig banking bill, the party that had elected him called for his resignation. Tyler refused and formed a cabinet of Democrats instead. Much of the struggle that followed was petty. The Whigs, for example, insisted on addressing Tyler as Vice President Tyler, acting as president, while Tyler refused to open any mail addressed to him in that way. "My back is to the wall," he wrote a friend, accurately describing his political situation. Yet during his years in office, the stubborn Tyler demonstrated, importantly, that a president alone, with neither party nor popular support, could still defy a congressional majority and determine the course of the nation. 3 days before leaving office, for example, Tyler signed a joint resolution he had engineered, admitting the slave state of Texas to the Union.